Praise the Lord. The first song said, I come to praise Him. The second song said, I'm glad I know who He is. The third song says, it ain't no secret what He can do. If we'll do our part, I guarantee you He'll do His part. Amen, amen. Thank you, singers and musicians, for helping us worship the Lord this morning. Actually, that's what the little lesson that I've prepared this morning is all about. I won't put anybody on the spot, but if I gave you 1 minute to give God your highest praise, what would you do? How would you respond? I'm telling you, praise and worship is one of the main parts of a Christian's behavior, not only in church, but outside of this church. The Bible says He dwells in the praise of His people. The praise of His people is not always collectively inside this building. It's everywhere we go. So we want to talk just a little bit about praise and worship. More so praise this morning. Psalms chapter 137. Starting with the first verse. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? God bless you. You might be seated. Touch and anoint us this morning, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. I've titled this little lesson this morning, and we will probably understand it a little bit later. Don't let Satan clean your plow. Anybody ever had to plow clean? My dad cleaned mine a time or two. Most of the time when we talk about that term, it's about somebody taking advantage of or really giving somebody a thrashing. We hear it a lot in the sports world. Some team beat another team, 100-0 or whatever. They really clean their plow. But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let Satan clean your plow. Many people, just like these people that were that David wrote this psalm about, them being in captivity, a lot of people cry and lament over being in trouble or in spiritual captivity. I tell you what, our sorrows and life's trials sometimes do make it quite difficult to imagine being able to sing a joyful song again. I've been there. Like the old saying, I've been there and done that. But I tell you, one of the best ways to help yourself out of a bad situation is to sing and praise your way out of it. Sing and praise your way out of it. In this Babylonian captivity, I'm sure most of y'all have probably in your Bible studies have read about it, but they were taken captive. I think the southern kingdom of Judah was taken first, and then probably 100 or so years later, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken captivity, and they were by the rivers of Babylon. Those two rivers were probably the Tigris and the Euphrates River. If you read over in Ezekiel, he writes about the same thing. He said, by the rivers of Kebar, they were there, and Kebar was a tributary that flowed into the Euphrates about 200 miles north of Babylon, and it was very common for them to hold their prayer services or whatever they were doing by the banks of the river. And undoubtedly, this Babylonian captivity was horrible. If you read the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, it's about the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. And Ezekiel got the vision. It is said that the Babylonians, when they captured them, they marched them through the valley, and they slaughtered just thousands upon thousands of the Israelites. And they would keep the strong young men and a lot of the young ladies and ones that could work. They would keep them, and that's what they took into captivity. And as I began to study that, it said more than likely his vision was to beat those people down, to really get them down. They took them through that valley of dead bodies. And that's what Ezekiel was getting a picture of. And you know how the Jewish culture back in that day felt about dead bodies. They were unclean. And I can imagine walking through that valley and probably recognizing some of your immediate family and some of your closest friends lying dead and having to march through that valley of dead bodies. I'm telling you, they were in a bad situation. But I tell you, praise will help you get out of any situation that you're in. Praise, or a derivative of the word praise, praise, praising, or what have you, is mentioned more than 300 times in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the word praise is mentioned more than the word prayer. That's hard to imagine. But praise, I'm telling you, until I started studying about this, I didn't realize just how important praise was. And I'm telling you, praise is something that the Scripture talks about should continually be in our mouth. Just like the cloud was by day and the fire was by night over the Israelites. I'm telling you, we need to stay in the presence of the Lord with our praise continually. Amen. Amen. Listen to David's psalm immediately after the one I just read you, 137th Psalm, 138, verse 1 and 2. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing unto him. Verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all our above all thy name. Praise and thanksgiving should be a very integral part of our lives as Christians. And if you read the Psalms, which I know you have, the theme of praise is woven all throughout the Psalms. Just about every one of them has something about praise. But I'm telling you, just like he wrote in that 138th Psalm, our praise has to come from our heart, not just from our lips. There's an old cliche says, well, he's just giving lip service. You know what that means. That means without sincerity. And we don't need to be offering lip service. It has to come from our heart. If it is in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. He's telling them, you're so full of evil every time you open the mouth. How can something good come out of your mouth? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I think the key word in that phrase is the word abundance. If you have an abundance of something, you have the ability to give it away. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Let's don't offer lip services praise, folks. Our idle words, words that have no meaning, will be judged, or you will be judged by it in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Lord, don't let me offer lip service. Let every praise that comes from my mouth generate from my heart. Amen. Because one scripture's talked about, he said, you confess with your mouth, but your heart's far from me. Amen. Our praise from our lips must come from the heart. If it does not, obviously, we have a heart problem that we need to correct. I tell you, we must let the Holy Ghost fill our heart with the right attitude of praise. And when it does, our praise will be pure from its very source, which is our heart. Let's read what true praise will accomplish when applied even in a bad situation. Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and the scripture says they were going to prayer. And there was a young girl behind them that kept saying, "These are servants of the Most High God, and they're here to lead you into the way of salvation." And what it was is this young girl was possessed by a spirit of divination, or she had the ability to give oracles to men. Now, you have to understand what she's saying is true. But Paul's take on it, before he did what he did, was that if I concur with her, the gospel that I preach would be concurring from a spirit of the enemy that has gotten into this girl. So therefore, Paul, the Bible says, being grieved, he turned around and he said, "Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ." And it did. But then that's where the trouble started. You know the story? Those men, those unscrupulous men, were using this young lady for monetary gain. And I have found out, I haven't done it, I don't think, but I have come to know and I found out, you can mess with most everything of somebody, but don't touch his money. Ain't that true? Boy, you can get by with a lot of stuff, but do not mess with their income or their money. And those guys were highly upset because he had taken away their ability to make money. And, of course, you know what they did. They called him in before the magistrates without a trial. And the Bible said they stripped those two boys of their clothes, Paul and Silas, and they beat them with rods. And the Bible says they laid many stripes on their back. It doesn't say how many, but it must have been a lot. And the thing about Roman culture, they weren't like the Jews. You read in the scripture where the Jews said somebody would be sentenced to have 40 stripes, and the Bible would say they gave them 40 stripes, save one. So how many did they give them? 39. Why? Because in Jewish culture, if you miscounted and you gave them 41 and they found out about it, the guy giving the stripes got the stripes. That's just the way it was. But the Romans didn't see it that way. They beat you till, I guess, they wore out. Or beat you short of dying. But needless to say, Paul and Silas were beat and put in stocks in a dungeon. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And this is the good part. And obviously, if they were going to pray, there were three times of prayer. That was the night, the third, sixth, and ninth hour of the day. That was 9 in the morning, 12 noon, and 3 in the afternoon. So at the latest, it was 3 in the afternoon when this happened. And at midnight, which would be 9 hours later, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. I'm telling you, it sounds like a scene not too many years prior. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place, one mind, one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I tell you, when one mind and one accord become the order of the day and praise and worship goes up, all of heaven and earth will be moved. That's why it behooves us to offer our praise and our worship to God from the depths of our heart so we can be touched and ministered to. And I thought about these two guys when I thought about situations that I've been in, probably some you've been in. I tell you, praise and worship and singing was the last thing on my mind. But they were put in stocks, and I'm sure all of you know what stocks are. But when I studied that a little bit, it said they would take those stocks and put their feet in it, and they would spread their legs way far apart so that it was quite painful. And they would either chain their hands or force their hands into another set of stocks. But I can just imagine Paul and Silas right there together in the deepest part of that jail. The jailer, the Bible says, they put them in the depths of the jail, down in the dungeon, you might say, where there would be no chance of getting away. And I can just imagine their conversation. Hey, Silas, how you feel? Man, my back is killing me. I can't move. How do you feel? Well, I feel about the same way. Want to sing? Sure. So they started singing. I don't know what they sang. They might have sang a psalm. But they began to praise the Lord and began to sing. In Acts chapter 4, chapter 7, verse 49 says, in essence, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Can you just imagine God himself sitting up there and looking down with his foot on his footstool? Wow, listen to that. Oh, I'm fixing to shake that place. I promise you, when the foundations of anything shakes, the whole problem is fixing to tumble. You can knock the bricks off the top of something, it's still going to stand. But I promise you, when the foundation shakes, something is going to move. And the earthquake, the Bible says, shook the foundation. I tell you, don't put two believers together in a desperate situation, because God will be in the midst. I tell you, when sincere praise goes up, God will join in the worship. And that's what makes the difference. And when God joins in, foundations move, bands and chains will fall off. Just like it did in the second chapter of Acts. I tell you, praise and worship broke down the problem. And not only will it free you, it will impact those that are around you. The Bible says everybody's chains fell off. Everybody's bands fell off. And that's why in church, when we praise and we worship, goes, maybe it will impact somebody next to you that's having a real tough time. Maybe it will impact somebody next to you that needs to hear from God. So that's why it needs to be sincere and from the heart. Not only were Paul and Silas freed, but the Bible says everyone's bands were loose. Don't let Satan rob you of your praise and your worship. Don't let Satan clean your plow. Amen. And don't let your attitude be one of just going through the motions. And sometimes I know it's hard to get in the frame of mind sometimes. But I tell you, praise and worship is born out of a love for God, not just an obligation to be part of a service. And I am guilty as I can be. When I've been in a service before and somebody said, well, let's clap or let's praise or let's do such and such, I do it because everybody else is doing it. I've done that before. And of that, I am ashamed, but I have done it before, just being a part. But it's born out of a love for God. Don't let Satan steal your praise or clean your plow. Hosea chapter 10, verse 11. I'm going to tell you about plowing. Well, I'd label that lesson like I did. Hosea chapter 10, verse 11. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, or that word means trained, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. That means I put a yoke upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride or to pull a plow. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. The name Judah means praise or to praise. And the scripture says, I will cause Judah and they shall plow. Your praise is your plow. Don't let Satan clean your plow. Don't let him steal your praise. I tell you, our praise will prepare the soil of the heart for planting of the word of God. Hosea had a lot of illustrations about fields and crops in his book. And here he speaks of a plowed field that is ready to receive seed. The ground has been carefully prepared, and by breaking up the fallow ground and breaking up the clods. And you know as well as I do, if you've done any farming, I used to have a disc, and I'd pull it and I would plant. And I did this year after year. And people were telling me, and I kind of figured out, if you don't get down deep every now and then and turn the soil over, you're not going to do too good. You can break up that old hard pan if you like, all you want to, but I'm telling you, till you get a plow and get down deep and begin to turn it over, you're not going to do as good. And that's exactly what Hosea is talking about. You go ahead and break up the fallow ground, break up the unplowed ground. And he says, and I will cause Jacob to break up the clods. Then you come behind it with the disc and break up the clods and prepare the soil. And that's what our praise does. That's why we gather in the prayer room and respond willingly when the call to praise and worship goes forth. And just as a sower has to prepare soil to plant, we got to prepare ourselves to receive the word of God. We just can't throw it just willy-nilly. And if we allow Satan to steal our praise, we lose our ability to prepare ourselves for what God has for us or someone else who might be in need. Amen. So don't let Satan clean your plow. And the enemy, that's how he will stop your praise, is by stopping your plowing. Mark chapter 4, starting with the 14th verse through the 20th verse. I don't believe I even gave him this one. But it talks about the parable of the sower. And the Bible says some fell on by the wayside. Well, that's the hardened heart. Some fell on stony ground. Well, that's the rootless ones that didn't put down any roots. It said some fell on thorny ground. That's the worldly ones. But some fell on fertile and fruitful ground. That is the righteous ones. There's a big difference. And the soil represents the four different ways people respond to God's word. Whether or not they respond favorably to God's word doesn't mean we didn't plow the ground and properly, nor does it give us a reason to quit plowing or to quit praising. We just need to keep plowing and we need to keep praising. Amen. When the call goes forth, we need to let it come from the depths of our heart, through our mouth, and offer praise unto God. He dwells in the praise of his people. Yes, he does. Amen. Don't let Satan clean your plow. Always remember that your praise is also powerful. Jeremiah chapter 33, starting with verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye shall say be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. You want to return back to what you once had? Praise. Bring a sacrifice of praise to the house of God. He promised that he would restore it. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You want beauty for your ashes? You want the cloak of praise for this garment of heaviness that you've been carrying? Amen. Praise the Lord. Regardless of what we face, God's word assures us that our praise and our worship to him will restore us to our rightful place in him. And don't ever forget, it is for his glory, that he might be glorified. Amen. So don't let Satan steal your praise, and don't let Satan clean your plow. Never feel like that you are so low or dejected that you can't praise or lift your head in praise anymore. It doesn't matter if it's a physical thing or spiritual matter. You do what you can to praise the Lord. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says he was Israel's greatest king and a great defender of God's people. And David had a repentant heart. That's what God loved about David. And David always knew where his source of strength was. If he didn't, he wouldn't have written all of those psalms about praise. And when David fell, he always began to praise the Lord and renewed his relationship with God. Because I'm telling you, David, in spite of all his good points, he was a character. You hear me? David's affair, you can read about it, and I think it's in Samuel, with Bathsheba and what he did, and you know all about that, and about how he murdered Uriah, her husband, to cover it up, and the story about asking Nabal to give him some supplies for him and his men. Nabal said, no, I don't even know who the guy is, when he knew very well who David was, because David had defended him and his sheep and his flock. He wanted to kill Nabal. He told his boys, get your sword on. There's fixing to be a bloodletting. And thank God Abigail got in the way and brought him to his senses. And even the shedding of too much blood, God would not let him build the temple. And there were several other things. And I'm telling you, when I was reading about David, if you want to read one of the most graphic descriptions of a man's low point in life and troubles, I want you to read the 38 Psalms, what David had to say. It's very graphic. And David wasn't just pulling this stuff out of the air as metaphors about him. He's describing his own life. And you can read it for yourself. Listen to David's plea for mercy, forgiveness, and cleansing. I tell you, God wants our praise, but he wants our hearts right before we pray. Psalms chapter 51, starting with verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That means a willing spirit. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. I tell you what, it sounds a little bit like Paul and Silas to me. I tell you, Satan will try to tell you that you cannot dance and you cannot praise with broken bones. Don't you ever believe it. David wanted to dance and sing and praise again. And when I was reading about this, I'm telling you, if you went through every scripture about praise, you'd have to be here a week. But the 145th through the 150th Psalms is all about praise. Every chapter. And listen, you can read the book of Psalms and listen to how the book of Psalms sort of culminates in the 150th Psalm. If you don't think you can't dance on broken bone. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbal. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You don't think you can dance on broken? Everything in that book was an instrument, but one thing. Did you catch it? In the dance. I can't play drums. I can't play piano. I can't play a trumpet. I can't play a guitar, but I can dance. I can praise God from the depths of my heart as he inspires me. So don't ever believe that you cannot praise if you got broken bones. David proved that you could. Amen. And what a fitting way to end the book with praise. The book of the Psalms. And it not only ends with praise, but it ends with a direct encouragement for you to praise God too, because the last line says, praise ye the Lord. Remember to praise him every day. Don't let Satan clean your plow. And don't ever think that God has to have our praise to survive. He created all things. I mean all things. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 8. And the four beasts, which interpreted as living creatures, are cherubims. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is, and is to come. God has angels praising him 24/7. These angels are looking at one another. Holy, 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 holy is Lord God Almighty. No, he doesn't need my praise to survive. But I am his creation also. And he expects my praise. And I'm telling you, he doesn't need it to survive, but he desires it. And I promise you, if God wants it, I want to do it. I want to give my highest praise from the bottom of my heart and not let Satan clean my plow. Amen. My plow, when I use it, it's shiny. It's all clean. But I'm the one that did it. By plowing fertile ground. And I want to do that for Christ. I want my plow to plow up the fallow ground. I want to spread the seed through my praise and my worship and my witness. I'm telling you, folks, from the depths of our heart, our praise needs to come forth. So when the call goes forth, I'm teaching myself, Lord, let me be the first one, whether I feel like it or not, to lift my hands, lift my heart, and let my lips praise you, O God. Do you love him this morning? Let's stand together. We're going to take a break for our next service. But we still got just a few minutes. For about 30 minutes. I mean, about 30 seconds. Let's give God our highest praise. Let's do our best right now to give God our highest praise. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you deserve the very best that I've got. Oh, God, from my heart, Lord, do I love you, Lord. Oh, do I praise you, oh, God. Lord, you said you dwell in the praise of your people. Lord, and if I know anything about your word, the praise that is now going up would entice the Holy Ghost to flow into this building. Oh, God, and you would minister to everybody here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you deserve, Lord, my highest praise because of who you are and what you are. God, restore to us our rightful place in you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you are our Savior. You are our healer. You are our Redeemer. God, our well-being is found in you, Lord. God, I pray for this congregation, Lord, that we would always be quick to praise you, Lord, and give you honor and glory that you so richly deserve. You are great, Lord, and your scripture says greatly to be praised. And let us do just that, Lord. God, don't let Satan rob our praise. Don't let Satan clean our plow. Oh, God, but let our praise always go up before you, Lord, everywhere we go. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. Might be dismissed. Return in a moment for our worship service. God bless you this morning.